We are in our next to the last week of the Gospel of John. And of course, the title of this sermon series is So That You May Believe in Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, probably most of you have heard messages on our passage this morning, and maybe you've looked at it a bunch of times also. It's one of those famous stories in the New Testament. We'll be looking at John 21:15-19. Again, John 21:15-19. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said to him, "you know that I love you." "Feed my lambs," he told him. A second time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," he said to him, "you know that I love you." "Shepherd my sheep," he told him. He asked him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved that he asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." "Feed my sheep," Jesus said. "Truly I tell you, when you were younger, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will tie you and carry you where you don't want to go." He said this to indicate by which kind of death Peter would glorify God. After saying this, he told him, "Follow me." Okay, we're going to look at one general thing this morning. And that is, Jesus has a very important discussion with Peter, right? That's what happened here in this whole passage. Jesus and Peter are talking back and forth. As I said earlier, probably most of us have heard messages on this passage multiple times. They're typically wrapped around the restoration of Peter after his denial of Jesus three times before the crucifixion. And we see they Jesus asked him three times if he loves him. So through this repetition of questioning and affirmation, Jesus is giving Peter the opportunity to publicly declare his love and his commitment to him. But interesting enough, there are other ways to understand what's going on in this passage that we really need to consider. But before we start, we need to go back to the previous passage in order to understand what's going on in our passage this morning, in order to give us a little bit of context. Okay, so the passage right before our passage this morning, and it's in verses 1 through 14, the disciples are hanging out without Jesus in Capernaum, Peter, James, and John's old stomping grounds, where they were fishermen. Peter is tired of waiting for Jesus to show up again, so he tells the guys, "I'm going fishing." So the other disciples, probably kind of feeling the same way, offered to go with him. They fished all night long, but didn't catch a thing. Then in the morning, Jesus shows up on the shore and tells them to cast their net on the right side of the boat. And they catch so many fish that they fear that the net's going to break. Jesus has a meal of fish and bread already prepared for them, and they all sit down to eat. Then back in our passage this morning, we see that when they had eaten, right? Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said to him, "you know that I love you. Feed my lambs," he told him. Now, notice again, Jesus doesn't start his conversation with Peter until after breakfast. Now, let's take a quick look at verse 20, the next verse that's right after our passage. And it's part, actually, you can consider part of our passage. So Peter turned around and saw the disciple Jesus following Jesus loved following them. Obviously, at this point, the disciples and Jesus are walking together. And John is walking behind Jesus and Peter. Now, they could have started walking as soon as they were done with the meal or any time after that. We don't know for sure. But why does that really matter? Well, look again at what Jesus says to Peter in verse 15. Do you love me more than these? So here's a question. What does he mean by these? Well, there are at least two ways to understand who or what these were. If they were still sitting around the fire, the these that Jesus is talking about is most likely the fish, the boat, the nets, the idea of fishing. Think about the context, what's going on in this passage and the previous passage. They had just eaten fish that Jesus cooked for them. Jesus had just allowed them to catch a miraculous amount of fish through him. They were sitting around a fire on a beach with fish all around them. Peter had gone back to fishing when Jesus didn't show up right away. He had gone back to his old way of life, fishing for fish instead of fishing for men. As I said earlier, we tend to think that this was all about Peter's reconciliation with Jesus, the restoration of their relationship. But remember, Peter had already seen Jesus and spent time with him two times. This is actually the third time. It would seem most likely that their relationship would have been restored during those two previous meetings. Okay, so if that was true, what was Jesus' purpose for this dialogue? Well, if you look at everything going on here, another way to understand it would seem that it's more about reconciliation for future ministry leadership. Notice, he says to Peter, feed my sheep. Shepherd my sheep. Feed my lambs. Jesus is telling him what he's to do. Not to be a fisherman, but to be a shepherd, right? One Bible commentator says, in these verses, we find the Lord recommissioning Simon Peter for service. I'm sure that Peter felt that his work and ministry was gone forever. But Jesus came to call him back into the fight. These few verses set him back about the business of serving the Lord and his church. Then this Bible commentator goes on to say, the same is true for every backslidden child of God who returns to the Father's house today. Not only will he forgive your sins, but he can restore you to a place of service for his glory. He will put you back on the battlefield. He longs to meet with you today and put you back into that place of service. You still have a friend in Jesus, regardless of how far you have fallen. Okay, so what else can we learn from this for our lives today? Well, let me give you just two. First, as we see, Peter went back to his old life, his life before Jesus. And we can actually easily go back to our old life, doing the things we did before we started following Jesus. Not doing what he wants us to do and to be doing, but living our lives for ourselves. This morning, Jesus is saying to all of us, do you love me more than these? The second thing we can learn from for our lives is that we need to be doing what God has called us to do. He was calling Peter to feed his sheep and tend his sheep. So what's God calling you to do as his servant? You know, we have various opportunities here at our church. We have Awana, Children's Church, Divorce Care, Bread for the Hungry. And we're going to be looking for elders and deacons. But let me also say this. What I'm talking about when it comes to serving Jesus in our church is, first of all, there are opportunities here. But there are also opportunities outside our church. And my heartbeat for each one of you is that you are doing what God wants you to do. That's where your strength, that's where your fruitfulness and your joy come from. But let me also say this. There are many good things that need to be done. But you picking them up out of guilt, pride, or saying, somebody's got to do it, is not the right reason. When you do this, it won't go well. The only good reason is because God wants you to do it. That's the only thing that matters. Now, one very important thing for us to realize. Notice that Jesus says, "Do you love me?" each time before he tells Peter the ministry he wants him to perform. Our motivation for serving Jesus must always come first out of our love for him, and then second, out of our obedience to him. That's again where your strength, where your fruitfulness, where your joy comes from. Okay, so we looked at the first way to understand what Jesus' main point was, that if they were hanging around the fire. The second way is if they're walking along together. Now, we know at some point during the conversation, they did start walking. Notice again what John says in verse 20. So Peter turned around and saw the disciple Jesus loved following them. We see again that Jesus and Peter are walking together and John is walking behind them. If they left the fire and started walking before Jesus asked Peter if he loved him more than these, the disciples would all be walking together. And the these would probably more likely have been the disciples. One Bible commentator says, the comparison seems more likely to have been with the love of the other disciples for Jesus, since Peter had earlier professed complete devotion to Jesus in the upper room. Peter had claimed that his love for and commitment to Jesus were so strong that even if all the other disciples forsook him, he would not. Yet he was the one to deny Jesus. So one of the reasons for this discussion could be that Jesus was reminding him of the importance of humility and love for him, especially as he served him. One lesson for our lives is beware of spiritual self-confidence, self-righteousness. Like believing you're spiritually stronger or more devoted than those around you. You know, this might be because you've been on a missions trip or you've gone door-to-door evangelizing, or maybe you don't own a TV, or maybe you drive a humble automobile. Folks, pride and self-righteousness will always take us down the wrong road. The Bible tells us that it leads to a fall, leads to destruction. This is especially true in serving Jesus. Then one last thing this morning. Notice what Jesus says in verses 18 and 19. Truly I tell you, when you were younger, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will tie you and carry you where you don't want to go. He said this to indicate by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. After saying this, he told him, follow me. So Jesus wraps up with saying, oh, by the way, this is going to how you're going to die. Now notice the verse says, you'll stretch out your hands. Now we know this is specific to a crucifixion. The other forms of capital punishment that the Romans used were beheading and feeding people to wild animals, and neither of them probably would have their hands stretched out. One Bible commentator says, Jesus contrasted the freedom that Peter had enjoyed in his youth with the constraint that he would experience in later life. He was describing crucifixion. The phrase, "stretch out your hands," was a euphemistic reference to crucifixion in the Roman world. The stretching took place when the Roman soldiers fastened the condemned person's arms to the cross piece of his cross. This often happened before they led him to the place of crucifixion and crucified him. The early church fathers were unanimous in claiming that Peter died in Rome by crucifixion during the persecution of Nero in 64 AD. And then it's also believed that he was crucified upside down. Okay. So what caused Peter to go from someone who denied he knew Jesus three times to save his own skin to someone willing to be martyred by crucifixion for his testifying to be a Jesus follower? Well, there may be many reasons, but two of them stand out. First was Jesus' resurrection. Seeing the resurrected Jesus gave the disciples boldness. The resurrection actually did two things for them. First, it showed them that Jesus was the real deal, that he was exactly who he said he was. It boosted their faith in him. There was no longer any doubt. But then second, it gave them hope. The Apostle Paul describes Jesus' resurrection as the first fruit. First fruit describes the harvesting process. See, pickers would go through the fields early on in the harvest and gather the first group of fruit that was ripe. And then after that, they would continue to go through the fields to gather additional fruit as it ripened. Then Paul goes actually on to explain our resurrection, that it follows after Jesus' resurrection. His was the first resurrection, and someday we'll also be resurrected. Knowing about our future brings hope. So the first was Jesus' resurrection. But the second, as we see in Pentecost, where the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave the disciples boldness, as we see in Acts, with Peter's speech and also with Stephen's stoning. You know, it's the same for us today. First, as we look to our future with an eternal perspective, a heavenly perspective, instead of a temporal earthly perspective, it will help us to be steadfast and faithful. But then second, it's also the Holy Spirit in us that gives us the ability to be faithful no matter what the cost. So, as we set our minds and hearts on things above, and as we listen and yield to the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives, that will give us the ability to passionately follow Jesus no matter what the cost. In closing this morning, can I ask everyone just to bow your heads and close your eyes with me just as we reflect on our time together? This morning we saw that Jesus asked Peter if he loved him. How about you? Do you love Jesus? Have you come to a point in your life where you realized you were separated from God because of your sins? And you saw your need for Jesus? Through faith in him, you will receive forgiveness of all of your sins. Become one of God's children, receiving a new life now in Jesus and a future home in heaven. And if this is what you want, just tell God in the quietness of your heart. God, I realize I'm separated from you because of my sins. I want to turn from them. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose again. And I give you my life. Then for those of us who are Jesus followers, has the Holy Spirit been speaking to you this morning? Maybe you've gone back to living for yourself instead of living for Jesus. Or maybe there is something God has been telling you to do, but you've been hesitating. Or maybe you've been going through a difficult time and you've been losing faith and hope in Jesus. Folks, whatever's going on in your life, can I encourage you to commit even now to doing what God's Spirit is telling you to do? Amen.